Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Millennial Precious Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MPM and on the OTCQB under the symbol MLPMF. We are chatting again with the president and CEO, Jason Kosick. Now, we did introduce Millennial Precious Metals really not that long ago. It was at the very tail end of last year where we outlined the focus of the company here. In Nevada and Arizona, the company right now holds all their properties in Nevada. The company is focused on quality ounces, very much a focus in terms of economic ounces. That's something we'll get into in this interview. The main projects here, the flagship projects being the Wildcat property and the Mountain View property. In total, these projects account for about 1.2 million ounces of open pittable oxide material. And the company also has a more advanced exploration story, Red Canyon, as well as a handful of grassroots exploration properties. We're touching on a recent drill result that came out January 12th. Now, this one hole is from the Mountain View property. The headline number, which is hole 16A, intersected 0.91 grams per ton oxide gold over 232.5 meters. This included some high-grade components of almost 11 grams per ton over 11.3 meters and 2.18 grams per ton gold over 22.3 meters. Now, this is part of a 20,000-meter drill program that is focused both at Mountain View and Wildcat. Jason, give us a little background on this hole. Looking through the news release, it looks like this hole very much drilled through the middle of the resource, but I understand it did also extend past the pit shell. So give us some more background on this one drill hole, please.
Yeah, thanks for that, Corey. Thanks for your listeners for joining in. Yeah, the reality is that these holes are part of our 2021 and 2022 program, which was aimed to really identify the plumbing system, see what the resource conversion rate was, see where the resource is open and see where it's closed off. And it's important and vital to the success of the updated resource, the PEA, to really see what that resource conversion is like. And one of the significant things that we are seeing while we're doing these infill holes is the grade is higher than expected in the block model, which we like to see. This hole in particular was 30 meters past the pit shell. But what we were seeing more and what we're getting really excited about is not only the continuity of mineralization, as you mentioned, 232 meters of 0.9. Just to put that into perspective for your listeners, the average grade of the Great Basin is 0.32 oxide. So significantly higher grade than the entire Great Basin of Nevada, okay? And, you know, there's people always talk about grade smearing, and I think it's important to understand really what that is. And the reality is that when you look at the residual grade of the hole, you're looking at 190 meters of 0.2 oxide. And it's important to know that our cutoff for the Mountain View project is 0.14. So really, the residual grade still goes on the pad and is still, you know, ore, so to speak. The one thing that we're really getting excited about is that we were talking about earlier is that high grade zone that you mentioned, you know, 11 meters of 10 grams. And what we're seeing as the hole goes through the pit shell is the grade is increasing significantly at depth. And how that's manifesting itself in the rock is instead of the fluid passively altering the flow banded rhyolite, the fluid is now violently brecciating the rock. And how that happens is from supersaturation of the rhyolite and then taking off lithostatic pressure, you create flash boiling and brecciates the rock. And that's what's causing this high grade mineralization. And why that gets us very excited is this is exactly how the sleeper deposit was found. Okay, it was hosted in a flow banded rhyolite around the same age of mineralization between 16 and 14 million years ago, associated with the rift of the basin. And they went through this, you know, low grade halo in the rhyolite, then into the stockwork and breccia zone, and then this bonanza grade vein was sitting right below that. And, you know, some of the grades that they were taking out of the vein were, you know, a meter and a half of almost 1,000 grams. So that's what's really getting us excited, is that as we go through the pit shell, as we go into the basin, the grade is getting higher, and the grade in these drill holes are continuing to impress us with the consistency of mineralization.
Well, Jason, a couple of key takeaways there. One is just that the whole interval was mineralized in an economic way and above the cutoff grade. That high grade component, very exciting, but also expanding it below the pit shell and finding higher grades at depth, it seems like you're getting closer to the source down there. Are there plans for the company to follow up and drill some deeper holes just to see how far down the mineralization extends and test the limits of it?
For sure. So, you know, this hole, the highest grade intercept was 318 meters. It was a meter of 24 grams. Okay. And that was past the pit shell. So, and it was still in oxide, maybe about 10% sulfide. So starting into that transition zone, the company, what we're trying to do at site is drill past this breccia zone. It's a little bit tricky right now with the drilling. What's happening is the rock is seizing up on the core barrel. Luckily for us, we have a new way to drill this, basically setting in a casing and then putting through a thinner drill string so that the rock doesn't seize up on the drill string, causing the drill to torque out, probably going into the weeds a little bit too much for your listeners. But, you know, to answer your question in short is, yes, we're going to drill deeper holes, targeting that feeder zone that, you know, is analogous to the intercept we hit in hole four of, you know, almost a meter of 141 grams, okay?
Well, Jason, with that deeper potential and the potential to go down to the feeder zone, and also the analogy you made with the sleeper deposit, does that lend itself to being amenable towards underground mining, just like the sleeper deposit?
Yeah, I think what will happen is we've seen significant higher grades into the basin and at depth. You know, hole three, we drilled 20 meters of just over 2.3 grams. So, you know, and at depth, they're increasing as we already talked about. So as you run your Whittle optimization, I will assume, and this is a forward-looking statement, that the western pit wall will be dragged down to pick up the higher grade material at depth. And it's important for your listeners to know is that you could see on a lot of our cross-section, a lot of the red and yellow green blocks sit outside of this black line, which is the pit shell. And it's important to know that these ounces that we're talking about are pit constrained oxide ounces. Okay. So everything that sits below that black line is not in the pit shell. So way you run your Whittle optimization is on economics. So we use a $1,500 gold price, $2 ton mining, 4 processing, 2 G&A, 80% recovery. So as the grade increases, recovery increases, gold price increases, we can bring the pit shell further down because of the economics.
So Jason, this ties into, again, the overall resource here, because you look at figure one and there looks to be mineralization outside of that pit shell. But as you drill deeper, and probably part of the overall plan this year, which is about 2,700 meters to be drilled at Mountain View, is the end goal then simply to what looks like add those easy ounces by altering that pit wall once you have some more information?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, like we mentioned earlier, is adding ounces, economic ounces, and converting ounces. And that's the key thing that really will drive the economics is seeing what the conversion rate is from inferred to indicated, so that we can use that updated resource for the PEA. So I think, you know, we're doing exactly what we said we're going to do, and just letting the drill bit and the updated resource and the PEA talk for themselves.
Well, Jason, it's pretty exciting what you found so far with the current drilling, but as you continue to drill this project at Mountain View, do you think there's any potential to step out and hit some new discoveries or tack on maybe something that's in a satellite area that could feed into the overall resource?
Yeah, I think, you know, the reality is this hydrothermal breccia zone has never been drilled before. And I don't like calling it a new discovery. You know, some companies will put one hole and say, oh, we just have this new discovery. Well, you don't even know the geometries of it. So once we have three more holes planned, so I think your listeners watching out for the next couple of press releases, once we understand the geometry, we can see it's a brand new discovery because it's never been drilled before, okay? But you need to understand the geometry to see if it's going to make it. And I think over the next couple of holes, it'll indicate, is it or isn't it? Okay. And that's all I can say for now, because we haven't drilled the holes yet. One thing to note is that we're confined in Nevada right now under an NOI permit. So we only have 5 acres of disturbance. So there will be some step out holes into the basin to look for other feeder zones. That's exactly how Sleeper was discovered. But, you know, on a more regional scale to look at, you know, new discoveries along the range front fault, we still have to wait for our plan of operations permit, which is, you know, 12 months, 14 months away.
So one thing that we keep on touching on here and something that you outlined to us even pre-call is that you guys are focused on economic ounces. It's all about margin when it comes to resources and mining. And I think some people lose focus of that, sometimes getting distracted by high grade or quite simply ounces that are harder to get out of the ground. One thing that's unique about this project is that what you guys are drilling and all the ounces in the resource are oxide material. Why is this important? Can you simplify that for investors that don't quite understand the difference between oxide and sulfide and what it takes to process this?
Yeah, in short, you know, like we said, is, you know, grade is great, but mining is like any other industry and business in the world. And what is king is margin. You know, grade does help, that's the reality, but there's a lot of other things that go into it. What's the strip ratio and the recovery? So right now we're looking at, you know, 0.42 to 0.45 when you do the grade divided by the strip, okay? So for your listeners, you know, depending on what the metal price is, you know, you're looking at $32 a ton in situ rock, okay? And our operating costs are $8. $2 a ton mining, $4 processing, $2 G&A. To put that into perspective for your listeners, for sulfide deposits, you know, you're looking $35, and in some projects closer to $75 a ton. So, you know, you can't compare apples to oranges. And it's important to note that oxide ounces are the most quality ounces because they're the lowest unit cost. And it's important to also note that why companies don't show the grade to strip ratio is because it looks bad, to be quite honest. And, you know, there's, you know, GSV is a beautiful deposit. Don't get me wrong. You know, GSV is $250 million company. It was an amazing discovery by John Ott and his team. But, you know, the resource grade of 0.86, but when you factor in the strip, you're sitting at 0.28. Okay, so we have a resource grade of 0.45, 0.47. And when you factor in the strip, we're at 0.42, 0.43. Okay, so that's the difference. You know, even Gold Bar, Rob McEwen, sits at 0.74. But when you factor in the strip, you're at 0.14. Okay, that's the significance of it. You're barely making, you're not making any money at Gold Bar. So in our deposits, you know, our cutoff is 0.14.
So Jason, when it comes to a potential production scenario here, is that what the company is moving towards, is getting this into really a shovel ready project? And to that point, where would you process the ore? What are the company's options?
Yeah, so that's what we're doing, is we're building a mid-tier producer and developer here. And we're going to get this thing in the permitting pipeline as fast as humanly possible. You know, what we'll be doing is Mountain View and Wildcat will have its own separate pits, pads, and ponds. And then from Mountain View, you would be trucking loaded carbon to a centralized stripping facility at Wildcat. So, you know, a hub and spoke model.
So it sounds like it'd be more like a heap leach operation than, because it's mostly oxide.
Yes, exactly. It'd be strictly heap leach. And, you know, in Wildcat's the exact same thing. If these veins that sit below these breccias, okay, so there's a high-grade vein that sits under there. We have historical stuff from the turn of the century that indicates that plumbing system is real. once you get into that high grade vein material, then you're not going to be leaching that. That's once a discovery is made, but we could approach that if we put a nice sexy drill hole like that.
Okay, Jason. Well, just as we look forward to the exploration plans, and you can really open this up to any of your projects, but what should investors be watching for over the next quarter or two as far as news flow, and where will the exploration focus be at your projects?
For sure. I think it'll be news flow from the drill bit for the next two quarters. From Mountain View up until May, and then it'll be Wildcat. Then you'll see the updated resource from Wildcat and Mountain View in the third quarter. We'll start the second phase of the drilling at Red Canyon. And then to wrap it all up, a PEA that'll be a joint PEA for Wildcat and Mountain View in the fourth quarter of 2022. So very catalyst-rich 2022. Led by the drill bit and tied up at the end of the year with a wonderful economic study.
So what about cash in the bank then, Jason? Just remind everybody where the company stands to move forward with the exploration plans and the economic study.
Yeah, we're fully financed to do everything. We're just sitting around $14.5 million in the bank. So, you know, we don't need cash right now. As we advance it, obviously these are exploration assets. You will always need cash. That's just the reality. But as the third largest shareholder, I'm very cognizant of dilution. I still buy in the market when I'm not in blackout. My last kind of block of stock was bought at 65 cents, I believe. So, and Jason Banducci as well. So, you know, we're strong believers and we keep on chugging away and we'll be cognizant of dilution. But, you know, the money that we have in the bank right now takes us right through all of our exploration objectives.
All right, Jason, thank you for the update. We will post a link to that news release below, and we will also post figure one. We talked a lot about figure one. It outlines where that hole is, and take note of that black pit shell wall. That is one of the references we made quite a bit in this interview. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get Jason to address those. We'll also follow up on the back of some more drill results because it sounds like they will be quite consistently coming out of the company. Jason, thank you again for your time, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, guys, and thanks to your listeners.